Morgan's AM, your pre-market briefing.
US equity markets rallied into the close of Friday's session to cap another strong week. The Dow gained 424 points or 1.3%. The broader S&P 500 rallied 1.7% to a tick over 4,280. The S&P 500 crossed a closely watched technical level of 4,231 points during last Friday's session, meaning the benchmark index has recouped half of its losses since tumbling from its all-time closing peak of 4,796 set on the 3rd of January. All 11 primary sectors in the S&P 500 advanced on Friday, along with the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index and the Dow Jones Transport Average. The S&P 500 Growth Index outperformed the S&P 500 Value Index. Technology-centric Nasdaq climbed 2.1%, as did the small capitalization Russell 2000 Index. For the week, the Dow added 2.9%, S&P 500 rose 3.3% and is up approximately 16.7% from its 16th of June closing low. The S&P 500 Banks Group logged its sixth consecutive weekly rise. The Nasdaq gained 3.1% last week and is up 22.6% from its 16th of June closing low. The S&P 500 and Nasdaq both logged their fourth consecutive weekly rises, their longest weekly winning streaks since November last year. The Russell 2000 Index gained 4.9% last week. Five Chinese state-owned companies have announced plans to delist voluntarily from Wall Street before the US forces them out in 2024 over an audit dispute. The announcements came from state-owned groups PetroChina, China Life Insurance Company, Aluminium Corporation of China, China Petroleum and Chemical Corp, or Sinopec, and Sinopec's petrochemical subsidiary. The listings have a combined market capitalization of more than $318 billion US dollars, albeit most trading in the company's shares takes place in Hong Kong. Global equity funds recorded inflows in the week to the 10th of August after six straight weeks of withdrawals, according to the latest Refinitiv Lipper data, as investors took the view that the Federal Reserve might not be too aggressive with its interest rate hikes and amid receding inflation worries. Tonight is in the US marks the deadline for large investors, such as Berkshire Hathaway, to lodge 13F filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission, which reveal their stock purchases and sales during the second quarter. Retailers dominate the US corporate earnings calendar this week, with Home Depot and Walmart reporting second quarter results on Tuesday. Lowe's companies and Target, along with Amcor, Cisco Systems and Tencent Holdings, report earnings on Wednesday night. Kohl's Corp and Ross Stores release quarterly earnings on Thursday night, as does chipmaker Applied Materials and Estee Lauder. Deere & Co and Foot Locker release quarterly results on Friday night. In US economic data, a preliminary reading of the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index rose to 55.1 in August from 51.5 in July, better than economists' forecast for 52.5 and after hitting a record low of 50 in June. The survey's one-year inflation expectation measure fell to a six-month low of 5% from 5.2%, while the survey's five-year inflation outlook edged up to 3% from 2.9%, but holding within the range that has prevailed for the past year. European bourses settled with modest gains on Friday, underpinned by the travel and leisure sector up 3.9%, which lifted the pan-European Stoxx 600 index 0.2%, extending the index's weekly rise to 1.2%. Germany's DAX gained 0.7%. German utility Uniper climbed almost 10% after suggesting it could begin using US gas in place of LNG that it gets from Australia's Woodside Energy in order to boost supply to Europe over the winter. France's CAC edged 0.1% higher. London's FTSE 100 climbed 0.5% on Friday to a two-month high just above 7,500, logging a fourth consecutive weekly rise up 0.8%. Flutter Entertainment jumped over 14% after the world's largest online betting firm said it expected to finish the year ahead of 2021, excluding an expected final year of losses in its fast-growing US business. Mondi rallied over 11% after the paper and packaging group agreed to sell its Russian business for $1.6 billion. And pharmaceutical major GSK rose 3.6%, steadying after declining over 16.5% in the preceding four sessions amid concerns about US litigation focused on a heartburn drug that contained a probable carcinogen. GSK said there was no evidence of a causal association between therapy with the heartburn drug and the development of cancer in patients, and that it would vigorously defend all claims related to its now discontinued heartburn drug Zantac. Outside the FTSE 250, 888 Holdings dropped 10.8% after the bookmaker reported a fall in its first half interim profit, dented by tightened British online gambling safety measures and the cost of living crisis. Britain officially declared a drought in parts of England as households faced new curbs on water usage during a prolonged period of hot and dry weather. UK economic data, a preliminary reading, recorded GDP fell by 0.6% in the second quarter, the biggest contraction since January 2021, and down from a revised 0.4% expansion in May. The figure was less severe than the 1.3% drop forecast by economists. Base metals were weaker across the board to close out the week, copper down 1% to be trading around $3.67 a pound, but still climbed 2.8% for the week. Nickel shed 2.6%, aluminium was down 3.4%, and zinc lost 2.6%. Indonesia's investment minister said more than 2,000 mining permits for various minerals have been revoked amid efforts to tighten the sector's governance and plan for land redistribution. Data released on Friday recorded that new bank lending in China tumbled more than expected in July, with banks extending 679 billion yuan of new loans, less than a quarter of June's amount and well short of analysts' expectations for 1.1 trillion yuan. China's National Bureau of Statistics releases the latest official activity data, including industrial production, retail sales and fixed asset investment for July later today, along with the unemployment rate for July and foreign direct investment figures for July. Benchmark spot iron ore lost $1.75 or 1.6% to $108.85 a metric ton, pairing their weekly gain to 1.8%. Gold futures rose $8.30 or 0.5% to $1,815.50 an ounce, with the most active contract sweeping to a fourth straight weekly advance, up 1.4%. It marked its longest run since the 31st of December 2021, according to Dow Jones market data. Oil prices retreated but still advanced for the week. WTI fell $2.25 or 2.4% to $92.09 a barrel, pairing the weekly gain to 3.5%. Brent lost 76 cents or 0.8% to $98.84 a barrel, still logging a 4.1% weekly advance. Saudi energy company Aramco reported on Sunday with profits soaring 90% in the second quarter compared to the same time last year, lifting its first half earnings to $87.9 billion. Aramco's net profits were helped by strong second quarter earnings that hit $48.4 billion. It marked a new quarterly earnings record for Aramco since it first floated approximately 5% of the company on the Saudi market back in 2019. For further context, Aramco earned more in two quarters than Apple Inc. did across three. In broader energy news, Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm told CNN's State of the Union on Sunday that nuclear has to be part of the array of clean energy technologies, zero carbon emitting baseload power. US 10-year Treasury yields fell 3.8 basis points to 2.85%. The 2-year note climbed 12.4 basis points on Friday to 2.66%. The week ahead includes a number of inflation readings, including from Canada on Tuesday night, the Eurozone on Thursday night, and Japan on Friday. Australia's wage price index for the second quarter is released on Wednesday, while the Reserve Bank of New Zealand is widely expected to raise interest rates again at their monetary policy meeting that same day. And the Federal Open Market Committee publishes the minutes of its July monetary policy meeting on Wednesday night. The CBOE Volatility Index settled at a near four-month low on Friday, down 3.3% at 19.5. Australian dollar is buying around 71.2 US cents.
This is general advice only, and we have not considered your needs or objectives.